put my words into his mouth, and he shall speak all that I command him. And we know that the Holy Quran was a revelation given to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, through Archangel Gabriel. And whatever was revealed to him, he repeated it verbatim, as though words were put in his mouth. And the next verse of Deuteronomy, chapter number 18, verse number 19, says that if anyone does not hearken unto my words, I shall require it of him. One particular version says, I shall take revenge. That means any person who believes in the Bible, who does not hearken unto the words of this Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take revenge from him. It further mentioned the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 29, verse number 12, that then the book will be given to the Prophet, and when he will be asked to read, he will say that I am not learned. And we know that when the first revelation came to our beloved Prophet, when Archangel Gabriel said, Iqra, our beloved Prophet replied, Ma ana biqari. Ma ana biqari, which means, I am not learned. This prophecy again fits to no one but our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Even the name of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is mentioned by name in the Holy Bible, in the Old Testament. It's mentioned in the book of Solomon, chapter number 5, verse number 16. The Hebrew quotation is, Hikko mamitakim, vikulli muhammadim, zahdudi wa zahirai, baina Jerusalem. It's a Hebrew quotation, which says, Hikko mamitakim, vikulli muhammadim. The word Muhammad, to it is added im, because in the Hebrew language, if you give respect to anyone, im is added. Like how you have elo for God, you say Elohim. It's a respect. Same to the word Muhammad is added im, Muhammadim, peace be upon him. So, in the original Hebrew text of the Old Testament, Song of Solomon, chapter number 5, verse number 16, our beloved prophet is mentioned by name. But the translation says that he is most sweet, he is altogether lovely. The Hebrew word Muhammadim has been translated into altogether lovely. He is most sweet, he is altogether lovely. He is my friend, he is my beloved, O daughters of Jerusalem. But in the original text, the word Muhammadim is there. Let's discuss the prophecies in the Christian scriptures. All the prophecies that are mentioned in the Old Testament of the Bible are also to be followed by the Christian. In addition to the Old Testament, they also believe in the New Testament. The Holy Quran says in Surah Saf, chapter number 61, verse number 5, that Jesus, peace be upon him, the son of Mary, was sent as a messenger to the children of Israel, to the Bani Israel, confirming the law that came before them, and giving glad tidings of a prophet to come, whose name shall be Ahmad, peace be upon him. The Holy Quran says in Surah Saf, chapter number 61, verse number 6, that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, Prophet Ahmad, peace be upon him, will be prophesied in the scriptures of the Christian. Besides he being mentioned in the Old Testament, he is also prophesied in the New Testament. It's mentioned in the Gospel of John, chapter number 14, verse number 16. Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, says that I shall pray to my Father, to God Almighty, to send you another Comforter, who will abide with you forever. The Gospel of John, chapter number 15, verse number 26 says that when this Comforter will come to you, who will be sent by my Father, he will glorify me, he will testify me. It further mentioned in the Gospel of John, chapter number 16, verse number 7, that nevertheless I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter shall not come. For if I depart, shall I send him. Now if you analyze in the Greek, original Greek manuscript that you have, the word used is parakletos. It's actually a corrupted form of the original word perikletos, which if you translate means the praiseworthy or the praising one. If you translate into Arabic, means Muhammad or Ahmad, peace be upon him. So in the original manuscript, in the original Greek, Parakletos means Ahmad or Muhammad, peace be upon him. Even if you agree that it is not Parakletos, it's Parakletos, the exact translation is not comforter, it means an advocate or a friend. But irrespective of whether the Christian, whether they say it's Parakletos or Parakletos, whether it is praiseworthy or praising one, or the kind one, or comforter, or advocate, Alhamdulillah, all these meanings fit our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. The Christian may say that this comforter, which the Bible refers to, is the Holy Spirit. It does not refer to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So you have to remind them. The prophecy says in the Gospel of John, chapter number 16, verse number 7, that nevertheless I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter shall not come. For if I depart, shall I send him. That means the criteria for the Comforter to come is that Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, should go away. And the Holy Spirit which the Christians speak about was already there before Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, came. It was there in the womb of Elizabeth. It was there when Jesus Christ was being baptized, peace be upon him. So surely it cannot refer to the Holy Spirit, and it only refers to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. There are several prophecies. It further mentions the Gospel of John, chapter number 16, verse number 12 to 14, that I have yet many things to say unto you. Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, says that I have yet many things to say unto you, but he cannot bear them now. For he, when the Spirit of truth shall come, he shall guide you unto all truth. He shall tell you things to come. He shall glorify me. This Spirit of truth which the Holy Bible speaks about, it is no one but a beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. The prophecy of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is very clearly given even in the New Testament. Chapter number 46, verse number 10, that tells to the people that see you not that this is a book from God Almighty, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you reject it. Even after a witness from amongst you, from among the Ahl-e Kitab, testifies to its similarity with the early scriptures. He was a believer. But you are arrogant. And Allah guides not the unjust people. The prophecy, the Holy Quran says that, don't you see that this is a book from God Almighty, the Holy Quran. And you non-Muslims reject it, whether it be the Hindus, whether it be the Parsis, whether it be the Buddhists, whether it be the Jews, whether it be the Christians, it says, this book is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a witness from amongst you has already testified to its similarities about the prophet or beloved prophet, and you reject it. The witness from amongst you was a believer. And you are arrogant people. You are unjust. And Allah guides not the unjust people. I would like to end my talk by quoting a verse of the Holy Quran from Surah Al-Kawthar, chapter number 108, verse number 1-3, which says, Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar, fasalli li rabbika wanhar, inna shaniyaka wal abtar, which means that we have granted thee, that is Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the fount of abundance, the Jannah, the fount of abundance. So turn to thy Lord in prayer and sacrifice. And anyone who hated thee, that is Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he will be cut off from all future hope. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are really lucky, alhamdulillah, that our Dr. Zakir Karim Sahib is here in Madras. But since the question and answer session is there, I would like to just put forth before him the questions have been asked to me by non-Muslims very often, but I am still not able to answer to them in a correct perspective manner. Dr. Saab, it is our firm belief that the believers will go to Jannah and the non-believers will go to hell. But a Hindu or a Christian often asks me that we are born in a Hindu family or we are born in a Christian family and naturally we will continue to have to follow the same religion. It is not our fault whether we will also go to hell forever or shall we also go to heaven. And second question, I used to tell them, you are supposed to read the Holy Quran and understand the religion. But another firm belief is, even a Muslim, we should not supposed to touch the Quran without wazu. We have to be wazu and then only we must read Quran. But how can a non-believer who is not a Muslim, when Muslims, we ourselves cannot touch the Quran, how can a non-believer can touch the Quran and read? That is a question I am not able to answer. Could you please answer this? Thank you.
The learned brother has asked two questions. The first one is that the non-Muslims say that according to Islam, only the believers, only the Muslims will go to Jannah. How are we to blame that as a Hindu and a Christian, if he's born in a Hindu family, a Christian family, we should blame God Almighty? Well, God Almighty put us in a Christian family and a Hindu family. So how, according to Islam, isn't your Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unjust that because we are born in a non-Muslim family, we will be put to hell? The answer that you can give is that according to our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, every child is born in Deenul Fitr. Deenul Fitr means the innate religion. Every child is born as a Muslim, irrespective whether he is born in a Hindu family, a Muslim family, a Christian family, a Parsi family or a Buddhist family. Every child is born as a Muslim. What is the meaning of the word Muslim? Muslim means one who submits his will to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Later on, by the influence of his elders, the influence of his parents, influence of his teachers, our beloved Prophet said, he starts doing idol worship, he starts worshipping fire, and he goes away from Sirat al-Mustaqim and goes on the wrong track. Therefore, when a non-Muslim accepts Islam, we prefer using the word revert than the English word convert. Convert means going from one track to the other track. Revert means every human being initially is a Muslim. By the influence of other people, he goes on the wrong track. And later on, he is reverted back to the correct Sirat al-Mustaqim, that is Islam. So therefore, revert is a more appropriate word for a non-Muslim who becomes a Muslim than the English word convert. So every child is born in Deenul Fitr. If you ask, what proof do you have today? There was a research done on two tribes, the Kapauku tribe and the tribe of Australian Aborigines. These two tribes did not come in contact with modern civilization till as late as 1950. When the researchers went and tried to find out the way of life, they were following Islam in everything except in name. They believed there was one God, they believed he was almighty, he was omnipresent, he was omnipotent, he did not beget, nor was he begotten. They did the sujood when they prayed to this God Almighty. They were following Islam, everything but in name. They didn't call themselves Muslim. But indeed, they were Muslim. So if you do an experiment today, that if you take a child from a Hindu family, one from a Christian family, one from a Buddhist family, the moment the child is born, isolate him from the other human beings. Let him come up absolutely without in contact with any other human being. Isolate him and let him grow up. See to it he gets food but does not come in contact with any other human being. After he grows up, if you try and learn his philosophy, it will be everything of Islam but in name. Because this is the innate religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in every human being the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the religion of Islam. And Quran says in Surah Araf, chapter number 7, verse number 172 and 173, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before the human beings came in this world, he bought the children of Adam from the loins And he asked all the human beings before they came in this world, they were asked, the souls were asked, that do you believe there is one God? And all of them testified, yes, we believe there is only one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Later on, their memory was washed and they have come into this world. It is their duty to find the truth. But even if they don't find the truth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes it upon himself to deliver the message of Islam. It's the duty of Muslims to dawah. But in spite of that, Allah says in Surah Fussilat, chapter number 41, verse number 53, He says, سَنُورِهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَا لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. That soon we shall show them our signs in the furthest region of the horizon and into their soul until it is clear to them that this is the truth. Allah takes it up upon himself that in every individual soul, besides showing his signs in the horizon, the sun, the moon, the trees, etc., he will even make it clear into their soul that this is the truth. But later on, after accepting the truth, many people, they agree with it, but they don't accept it, because if they accept it, if they become Muslims, they may go lost in business. They may lose their friends. So for material gain, they do not accept the truth. They agree with it, but they don't accept it. And Allah says very clearly that by the age of 40, every human being will agree that there is one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at least once in the lifetime. So the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is given to every human being, and every human being is born as a Muslim. Later on, it goes to the wrong track. Regarding that, will Muslims go to Jannah? Only by saying La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, you do not get a ticket to heaven. There are many Muslims who feel that only by saying the Shahada you go to Jannah. The criteria for going to Jannah is mentioned, as I said in my talk, in Surah Al-Asr, chapter number 103, verse number 1 to 3, we say, وَالْأَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَآمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. That by the token of time, man is very in a state of loss, except those who have faith, those who have righteous deeds, those who exhort people to patience and perseverance, those who exhort people to truth, that is to dawah and Islam. These are the minimum four criteria for a person to go to Jannah. If any one of these four criteria is missing, according to not enter Jannah. You may be a good Muslim, you may have Iman, you may be offering the Salah, you may have gone for Hajj, but if you don't do dawah, if you don't deliver the message, you shall not enter Jannah. All four criteria are required for a person to enter Jannah. Not only saying the Shahada. The person should have belief, should have righteous deeds, that is, should be honest, etc., should invite people to truth, to dawah, and invite people to patience and perseverance. Only being born in a Muslim family will not transport you to Jannah. Hope this answers the first question. Regarding the second question, that Muslims are supposed to do wudu and touch the Quran, how will the non-Muslim read the Quran? And normally, I'll be dealing with this topic in detail tomorrow, inshallah, in the morning. Al-Quran, should it be read with understanding? I'll be dealing with the subject in detail. But just to answer briefly, what the Muslims refer to the verse in the Holy Quran from Surah Waqia, chapter 56, verse number 77 to 80, which says that Quran is most honorable, a book well guarded, which none shall touch except those who are pure, except those who are clean. Here when the Holy Quran says, none shall touch it, it does not mean physical touching. Any non-Muslim, they can easily take the Holy Quran and touch it, and the Quran will be proved wrong. They can purchase the copy of the Holy Quran for 100 rupees or 200 rupees, and they can touch it, the Quran will be proved wrong. When the Quran says, none will be able to touch it, touch here does not mean physical touch. It means no one will be able to understand the Quran, will be able to derive the benefit of the Quran, will be able to assimilate the Quran, except those who are clean. Cleanliness does not mean body cleanliness. It means cleanliness besides of the body. It also means cleanliness of the heart, of the soul, and of the mind. Touching the Quran without wudu also, you can't touch the Quran. It's not a farz, the wudu should be there. You should not be najis in ceremonial impurity. Cleanliness here means you should not be in ceremony and impurities. That for the Muslim to believe in the Quran. Otherwise, even without wudu, you can touch the Quran. It's preferable to be in wudu. It's not a farz. But you cannot be in ceremonial impurity. We may pose the question that these non-Muslims, these kafirs, these mushrik, they are najis. How can they touch the Quran? See, the Holy Quran is not meant only for the Muslims. It was meant for the whole of humankind. It's mentioned in Surah Ibrahim, chapter number 14, verse number 52, in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter number 2, verse number 185, and Surah Al-Zumur, chapter 33, verse number 41, that the Quran was revealed for the whole of humankind. It was not only revealed for the Muslims or the Arabs, but for the whole of humankind. And a prophet, as I mentioned, was sent for the whole of humankind, not only for the Muslims. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds me responsible for giving the copy of the Holy Quran to the non-Muslims, I will be in good company. Because even a beloved prophet, he dictated letters in which verses of the Quran were mentioned. He gave to the non-Muslim kings. And one such letter is preserved in Turkey in the Koptaki Museum, which says, and it quotes one of the ayats of the Holy Quran, which says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Kul ya ahl al-kitab, O people of the book, تَعَلَوْ لَقَلْمِتِنْ سَوَائِنْ بَيْنَنَا بَيْنَكُمْ, that come to come in terms as between us and you. Which is the first term, Allah نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, that we worship none but Allah. وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ, that we associate no partners with Him. شَيْيَا وَلَا يَتْفَخِيزَ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا أَرْبَابًا مِنْ نُنِ اللَّهِ, that we erect not among ourselves lords and patrons other than Allah. فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا, if then they turn back, فَقُولُوا شَدُوا, say we bear witness, بِأَنَّا مُسْلِمُونَ, that we are Muslims bowing our will to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This verse of the Holy Quran was declared by a beloved prophet and sent to non-Muslim kings. Some accepted Islam while the others tore that letter and trampled it beneath their feet. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds me responsible, I will be in the company of a beloved prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. When he can give the Holy Quran to the non-Muslims, why can't I give? People say, no, we should give only the translation, not the Arabic portion. I am asking, there are 14 million Arabs who are Coptic Christians. The Arabs, Arabic is their mother tongue, but they are Christians from birth. Means they were born in a Christian family. By birth they were Muslim, but they were born in a Christian family. Which translation of the Quran will you give to these Christian Arabs? You have to give the original Quran. So very well, you can give the Holy Quran to the non-Muslims. Even if they make a mistake of touching the Quran, it's a minor mistake. What we have to prevent them from doing is the biggest mistake of shirk. The Holy Quran says, تَعَلَوْ لَقَلْمِتِنْ سَوَائِنْ بَيْنَنَا بَيْنَكُمْ, come to come in terms as between us and you. Which is the first term? Allah نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, that we worship none but Allah. وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ, that we associate no partners with Him. We are preventing the non-Muslim from doing the biggest sin of shirk. These small sins don't carry any weight in front of shirk. So this is the teaching of the Holy Quran and the teaching of a beloved prophet. You can and you should give the Holy Quran to the non-Muslims so that they will have no excuse on the day of judgment saying that we did not get the message of Islam. If you have a non-Muslim neighbor and he's a mushrik, if you do not deliver the message to him and on the day of judgment, Allah will question him. That why didn't you accept Islam? He said, I didn't get the message. Allah says it was your job to get the message, I gave it to you. You go to hell. Allah will pose you the question, why didn't you deliver the message to your non-Muslim friend? Did you deliver the message? And if you say, I have not delivered the message, even you will follow him. Even you will go to Jahannam. I hope that answers the question. Yes, brother, most welcome. First, we'll entertain the question from the mic. And inshallah, if time permits, we'll enter in the questions from the slip. If there's any question on the sister side, I believe they can write it on the slip and send it forward.
How to impress upon the non-believer of the Holy Book, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who are themselves are not reading their Holy Scripture, they don't know what is Gita, they don't know what is Puranas, they accept the praise of the Lord Krishna by stealing of butter or fluting the bugle or anything. How we have to be a mubaligh like you to impress upon a non-believer to accept the Holy Quran believes into the entire system of the universe, the faith of the people, and by ending it with Khatm al-Muslim. If I am not wrong in my question. Did you understand?
The question posed by the brother was that the Hindus, they don't themselves read the Gita. They don't know much about their own holy scriptures. They only know about Krishna, etc. So how do we do dawah with them? What we have to tell them? That you have to ask them. As the Quran says, Ta'ala wila kalmitin sawa'im bainana bainakum. That come to common terms as between us and you. Which is the first term? Allah na'buda illallah. That we worship none but Allah. Wala nushrika bihi. That we associate no partners with Him. The Holy Quran says, the best way of doing dawah is to say, Allah na'buda illallah. If they quote about Krishna, you have to say, Dear brother, my Hindu friend, where do you come to know about Krishna? He will say, in Mahabharata, in Bhagavad Gita. Let him do the job. Bhagavad Gita is one of the holy scriptures of the Hindus. So you have to say, since you believe in Bhagavad Gita and you quote Krishna, Bhagavad Gita also says in chapter number 7, verse number 19 to 23, it says, all those who do idol worship, they are materialistic people. Those who do idol worship, they are materialistic people. They say, when they speak about Krishna and other lords, they say, we come to know about these things from the Vedas. So I gave a talk quoting from the Vedas, that if you say you believe in Lord Krishna because it's mentioned in Mahabharata, in Gita, you believe in certain Lord Ram because you believe in Ramayana, because you believe in the Vedas, etc. So if you believe in parts of Vedas, you have to believe as a whole. Your Vedas even prophesied the advent of a beloved prophet. And I gave quotation from Atharva Ved, from Rig Ved, from Sam Ved, about the prophet of beloved prophet. You can even speak to them, Allah na'buda illallah, that we worship none but Allah. Wala nushrika bihi, that we associate with partners with Him. You have to tell them, it's mentioned in your Ved, in the Rig Ved, chapter number 32, verse number 3. It says, Na tasya pratima asti, of that God no image can be made. It's a Sanskrit quotation. In the same Yajurveda, chapter number 40, verse number 8, it says that God is imageless and bodiless. Same Yajurveda, chapter number 40, verse number 9, says, all those who worship the Asambhuti, that means the natural things like water, earth, air, they are in darkness. And the verse continues in Sanskrit. Andhatma pravishanti ya sambhuti mupaste. They are entering more in darkness, those who worship the created things, the sambhuti, like table, chair, idol, etc. Who says that? Don't talk about the Quran. Your scripture says that. Your scripture also says, Ekam braham dusya naste. Niya naste naste kinchan. Bhagwan eki hai, dusra nahi hai. Nahi hai, nahi hai, dara bhi nahi hai. There is only one God, not a second one. Not at all, not at all, not in the least bit. We have to say, Tala vila kalmitin sawa'in baina bainakum. That come to common terms as between us and you. If they don't know their scriptures, you memorize certain verses of their scriptures which match with the Holy Quran. Because the Quran is the Furqan. We don't agree that their scripture is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The scripture that they have, the Veda, we don't agree it is totally the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By name, we know four revelations. The Torah, the Zabur, the Injil and the Furqan. But the Holy Quran also says in other places, in Surah Ra'd, chapter number 13, verse number 38, it says that we have sent a revelation to every nation. Several revelations were sent down. By name we know four. So Veda, if a Hindu asks, is it a revelation of God Almighty? I say, I don't know. It may be. But even if it is a revelation of God Almighty, it was only meant for that time. Today you have to believe in last and final revelation, that is the Holy Quran, not in a revelation which was time bound. Even if it was, I can't say for sure. I'm not saying it's the word of God. But we can use the Quran. Quran is the Furqan, the criteria to judge right from wrong. You can use the criteria to know that there are certain parts in the Bible which match the Quran, which we say, this part of the Bible we can say may be the word of God. This part of the Veda which says that Ya ek is mushtihi, there is only one God, worship Him alone. Rig Veda, volume number 6, chapter number 45, verse number 16, may be a word of God. But the whole Veda, we don't agree with the word of God. Hope that answers the question. We'll just take a question from the chapter, inshallah, we'll come back to you. The question is, now that you have tried to prove the advent of Prophet Muhammad to some of certain Eastern religions, scriptures, can we presume that the majority people of India are people of the book? If yes, can we marry them without converting them? The right word is reversion, as I said, as this is allowed in respect of the people of the book. The meaning of the people of the book, Ahle Kitab means people of the book. One of the meaning of Kitab is also revelation, people of the revelation. Ahle Kitab means people of the revelation. In that way, even the Muslims are Ahle Kitab. But when the Quran speaks about Ahle Kitab, it is particularly referring to the people of the law and the gospel, the people of the Torah and the Injil, referring to Jews and Christians. So whenever the Quran gives a reference, you have to read in context. When Quran says Ahle Kitab, it refers to no one but Jews and Christians. It does not refer to Muslims. When Quran says, Ya Ahle Kitab, Wala Taqulu Salasa, O people of the book, don't say Trinity. To Muslims say Trinity. Ya Ahle Kitab. Do we say Trinity? No. So when the Quran says Ahle Kitab in context, it is referring to a particular Ahle Kitab, only Jews and Christians, not the Muslims and the other people. Regarding the second part of the question, since the prophecy of Muhammad, peace be upon him, mentioned in Hindu scriptures, can we say the Ahle Kitab? No, sister. As I said, we cannot say for sure that Veda is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It may be. Even if it is, it is outdated. It's outdated. We have to believe in the last and final revelation, that the Holy Quran and no other book today. It may be the word of God. Can we marry them? No. The Holy Quran says in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter number 2, verse number 221, it says that do not marry unbelieving women. Do not marry unbelieving women, mushrik women, those women who do shirk, unless they believe, until they believe. Even a believing woman who is a slave woman, she is better than an unbelieving woman, a mushrik woman, even if she allows you. The Quran says, don't marry a mushrik woman unless they become believers. Even a Muslim woman, a Jharuwali, who is a believer, who is a Muslim, she is better than the mushrik. Even if she allows you, she may be the Queen of England. She may be the most wealthiest woman in the world. She may be the most beautiful woman in the world. But yet, a Jharuwali, who is a Muslim woman, she is much better than the Queen of England, even if she allows you. If she is a mushrik, a Muslim woman, a Jharuwali, is better than the Queen of England if she does shirk. Similarly, for a man, the vice versa is applied, that a believing woman should not marry a mushrik man unless he believes. A Jharuwala, a Muslim Jharuwala, is much better than a mushrik, even if he allows you. He may be Princess Charles, he may be Richard Gere, the most handsome man, he may be Amitabh Bachchan. But if he does shirk, a Jharuwala, who is a Muslim, is much better than Amitabh Bachchan if he does shirk. Quran says that you are not allowed to marry mushrik. I know there is a verse in the Holy Quran, in Surah Maida, chapter number 5, verse number 5, which says, you are allowed to marry the women of the Ahle Kitab. But you can only marry those women from the Ahle Kitab who are modest, not those who do shirk. Because Quran says in Surah Maida, chapter number 5, verse number 72, it says that they say that Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, the son of Mary, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Waqal al-Masih. But said Christ, Ya Bani Israel, O children of Israel, A'budullah, worship Allah, Rabbi wa Rabbakum, who is my Lord and your Lord. Inno mushrik billah. Anyone who associates partners with Allah, فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah will make Jannah haram for him. وَمَا وَهُ النَّارِ وَمَا لِلْظَالِمِينَ الْأَنْصَارِ. And fire shall be his dwelling place, and he shall have no helpers in the hereafter. That means, even among the Ahle Kitab, among the Jews and Christians, there are people who do shirk. إِنَّ مُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ. Anyone who associates partners with Allah, فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah will make Jannah haram for him. So you cannot marry those Ahle Kitab women, Jews and Christians who do shirk. You can only marry those Ahle Kitab who don't do shirk. And this is mentioned today, Al Imran chapter 3 verse number 110, that minhumul mu'minuna wa aksamul fasiqun. Among the Ahle Kitab there are some who are believers, but the majority are perverted transgressors. So you can marry those Ahle Kitab women, those who don't do shirk, and those who have iman. Hope that answers the question. But let's pose the question that there are some non-Muslims like Christians, etc., who can show about moral characters to the Muslims, etc., they are better than them. What happens to these good characters? Brother, as I mentioned, the criteria to go to Jannah are four, according to Allah, sir. One is iman, one is righteous deed, tawasu bil haq, doing dawah and islah, tawasu bil sabr, inviting people to patient perseverance. If they are very good in righteous deeds, suppose you are paying for an examination and there are four subjects, science, geography, history and mathematics. If you get 100 out of 100 in maths, and the other three you fail, will you overall pass? You will fail. You have to pass in all four. So even in righteous deeds if they are good, yet they will not enter Jannah. Similarly for a Muslim, he may have iman, but if he doesn't have righteous deeds, he will not enter Jannah. He should have iman, he should have righteous deeds, he should do dawah, and he should exhort people to patience and perseverance. There are people who say that you Muslims, and they criticize. There are people who are dishonest, you all don't follow this and that. You have to tell them that you have to judge the religion according to the authentic source, that is the Holy Quran and the Hadith, not by what individual Muslims do. Suppose you want to judge a car, as a Mercedes car, how good it is. If a person who does not know how to drive the car, if he sits on the steering wheel, he will bang up the car. Will you say the car is bad? No, you say the driver does not know how to drive the car. So if you have to judge Islam, judge by the authentic sources of the Quran and the Sahih Hadith, not by what Muslims do. And if you want to have an exemplary Muslim, the best example, as the Holy Quran says, is our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Hope that answers the question. The brother says, justify the verse of the Holy Quran, Lakum Deenukum Waliyaddeen, and many Muslims quote this, Lakum Deenukum Waliyaddeen, to use your way to me is mine. Therefore, you should not do dawah to the Hindu. He can be a Hindu, he can be a Christian, he can be a Parsi, all will go to Jannah. Lakum Deenukum Waliyaddeen. Brother, you are quoting out of context. You are quoting a verse of the Holy Quran from Surah Kafirun, chapter number 109, verse number 6. But you are quoting out of context. For the complete context, you have to go to the first five verses. It says, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ وَلَا أَنَا عَابِدٌ مَا عَبَدْتُمْ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينِ. Before you quote the last word, it's compulsory you should quote the first five verses, which says, say to those who reject faith. The question of rejecting the faith only comes if you deliver the message of Islam. If you don't deliver the message of Islam, how can you say that he rejects the faith? So first you have to deliver the message of Islam to the best of ability. Then if he does not agree with it, the last resort is, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. Say to those who reject faith, I worship not that which you worship. You worship not that which I worship. I will not be worshipping that which you want me to worship, nor do you worship which I worship. To use your way to me is mine. Only after saying these four things, these five verses, that after delivering the message of Islam to the best of ability, if he does not agree, tell him, I do not worship what you worship. Not Ram bi Khuda and Allah bi Khuda. This is hypocrisy. Some of the politicians, Muslim politicians do that. Say, call him by Allah, call him by Ram, everything is fine. Where they get this from, I don't know. They are trying to scratch the back of the Hindus so that they scratch your back. Deliver the truth. And then if they don't accept it, say, I don't agree what you say, neither do you agree what I say. Lakum deenukum waliyaddeen. To you is your way, to me is mine. But that does not mean that I should not do dawah. After doing dawah, after delivering the message, the last resort, if he doesn't agree, then say, to you is your way to...
I am Professor Ahmad Basha. My question to Dr. Saab is that Dr. Saab has referred many things from Vedas and Bible, that there are several prophecies that Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the last prophet, will come. Very nicely he has explained that. We are thankful to him. My question is, Dr. Saab, whether he has discussed these prophecies with the scholars of Vedas and Bible. If he had discussed what was their interpretation for these prophecies, if they have accepted, why they have not accepted Islam, if they deny, on what basis they are denying.
The brothers asked the question that have I discussed all these prophecies with the Hindu scholars and scholars of other religions, faith, and have they accepted? I have discussed, alhamdulillah, with several. We have discussions in our organization, in platforms, in the temples we go and discuss, alhamdulillah. And the main concept is Allah na'budu illallah, that we worship none but Allah. Have they accepted? Alhamdulillah, many have. Many have reverted to Islam, many, alhamdulillah. Several, hundreds, alhamdulillah. But majority don't. They agree with the truth, but as I mentioned in my talk, that they agree with the truth, but they don't accept it because of ego problem. Everyone has speak about this prophecy, everyone does not. Majority don't, but hundreds have, alhamdulillah. Hundreds have reverted to Islam. Why don't they accept? Because the moment you talk about this, some give excuse, no, these are interpolations put by Muslims afterwards. I said, these verses of the Quran are recited since thousands of years before the Muslims came to India. Where does the question arise of interpolation? They give lame excuses. They agree in their hearts, deep within their hearts, what the Quran says is a fact. But they don't accept it. Why? For material gain. If I become Muslim, maybe I will be excommunicated. How will I fail the society? I will go lost in business. So for their own personal reason, they don't accept it. But many do. Majority don't. Why don't they do? Allah will not ask me. Allah says in the Holy Quran, in Surah Ghashiyah, chapter 88, verse number 21, فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ. He tells the Prophet that your job is to deliver the message. Your job is not to reward the people. Hidayat in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ke haath mein. Giving hidayat in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your job is to deliver the message. Allah will not question me, why didn't he convert? Why didn't he revert? That's his problem. I delivered the message. Many do, alhamdulillah. Those who don't do, they will be held responsible on the day of judgment. Why don't they accept? Because of material gain. If he's a pundit, if he accepts Islam, what about his revenue? Will he get it? No. So we discuss with people, there are people who accept, but majority don't for their own material needs. Hope that answers the question. Assalamu alaikum. Is it necessary to pass the message of Islam to non-Muslims? Is it duty of all Muslims or a small group? As I mentioned, it is fard for every Muslim to dawah. If they don't do dawah, they will not enter Jannah. It's fard of every Muslim to at least do part-time dawah. But the Quran says in Surah Imran chapter 3 verse 104, let there arise out of you a group of people which enjoin what is good and forbid what is wrong. These are the ones to attain felicity. How we are full-time doctors, full-time lawyers, full-time advocates. Why don't they full-time die? So there should be a group of people amongst the Muslims who are full-time dying. And it is the duty of the Ummah to support these dying. But otherwise, it's the duty of every Muslim to at least be part-time dying. They should do dawah. If they don't do dawah, they shall not enter Jannah. It is the belief of the Muslims that all other holy books, Bible, Vedas, Zendavis, etc., except the Holy Quran, is believed to be imaginary and untrue. But since these books have reference of Prophet, are they true? Please explain. The preaching that I explained in these holy books can be followed. As I mentioned in my talk, all the previous revelations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were meant only for a particular people and they were meant only for a particular time period. Since it was not meant for eternity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not guard these scriptures from corruption. But the Quran says in Surah Hijr, chapter number 15, verse number 9, that this is the book most honorable and we shall guard it from corruption. Since the Quran is for eternity, till Qiyamah, Allah will guard it from corruption. We believe that Torah is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Zabur is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Injil is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the present Bible is not the Injil which we believe in. The present Bible is a corruption of the word of God, of the word of prophet, of the word of historian, and even there is pornography in the Bible. Partly there is words of God, but totally is not the word of God, because Bible is not the original Injil. The Injil has been corrupted since it was time bound. So to know which part of the Bible we can consider the word of God, we have to use the criteria, the Furqan, that's the Holy Quran. Whatever matches with the Quran, we can say, this we do not mind as accepting to be the word of God. But that does not mean that the whole book is the word of God. There is no other religious book except the Holy Quran, which is untouched and in the authentic form and in the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is it true that all Muslims follow Muhammad, peace be upon him, enter heaven on the day of Qiyamah? All Muslims are followers of Islam, then what is the difference between Sunnis and Shia Muslims? Is it necessary to read the Quran in Arabic? The first question, all followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam will enter Jannah? Yes, if they follow his teaching practically, not only verbally. Just by saying, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, you will not go to Jannah. You have to follow his teaching, the Holy Quran and the Sahih Hadith, then you go to Jannah. Otherwise not. All Muslims are followers of Islam, then what is the difference between Shia and Sunni? The Holy Quran says in Surah Al-Imran, chapter number 3, verse number 103, says that, وَاتَسِمُوا بِحَبْدِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold to the rope of Allah strongly and be not divided. Double emphasis. Hold to the rope of Allah strongly together and be not divided. What is the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The Holy Quran. The Holy Quran is the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We Muslims should hold to the Holy Quran. And the Quran says in Surah An'am, chapter number 6, verse number 159, it says that anyone who makes division, anyone who breaks the religion and makes sex in the religion, his affairs with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will tell him the truth. It is haram to divide the religion. Anyone who makes division in Islam, he is going against the Quran. To ask the Muslim, what are you? He will say, I'm a Hanafi, I'm a Shafi, I'm a Hanbali, I'm a Maliki, I'm a Shia, I'm a Sunni, I'm a Bori. What was the beloved Prophet? Was he a Shia? Was he a Sunni? Was he a Hanafi? Was he Maliki? What was he? He was a Muslim. So if anyone poses the question, what are you? You should say you are a Muslim. The Holy Quran says that Isa alayhi salam in Surah Al-Imran, chapter number 3, verse number 52, he was a Muslim. The Quran says in Surah Al-Imran, chapter number 3, verse number 67, that Ibrahim alayhi salam, Abraham peace be upon him, was not a Jew or a Christian, he was a Muslim. So if anyone poses the question, what are you? You should say you are a Muslim. The moment you say, I'm a Hanafi, I'm a Shafi, I'm a Shia, I'm a Sunni, I'm a Bori, I'm a Aga Khani, I'm a Bareilly, I'm a Deobandi, you are going against the teachings of the Holy Quran. It is haram. You may agree with the explanation of Abu Hanifa, with the explanation